From NPR News in New York, this is the Bryant Park Project.
Overlooking historic Bryant Park in Midtown Manhattan, we are live from the NPR studios. This is the Bryant Park Project from NPR News. Good day, everybody. I'm Allison Stewart. It is Wednesday, March 20th. It is the last day of winter, meaning tomorrow is the vernal equinox when the sun will cross directly over the Earth's equator. Thought it'd be a good time to check the horoscope since I'm a moon child, I'm a Cancer. Listen to what's in store for me today. This is pretty good. The sun's transit of the midhaven angle of your chart tomorrow means you'll be even more ambitious than usual, and you can start right away by impressing others with your willingness to take on responsibility. The ladder of success is right there in front of you. All you have to do is grab hold and start climbing. When's Terry Gross going on vacation? Come on, I can fill in on fresh air. I'm gonna climb that NPR ladder. All right, I'll settle down now. Coming up on the show today, Barack Obama's speech on race. It was a nuanced take on history and race relations in this country. And the candidate towards the end of the speech challenged us in the media to deal with the nuance of this subject. And that is a challenge an NPR host can get her head around. So, okay, Barack Obama, you are on. Game on. We're going to talk about some of the issues that you raised. We've invited two very smart people to join us. Mark Anthony Neal, a professor of Black popular culture at Duke University, and Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist Chris Hedges. Interesting guy, attended Harvard Divinity School, and then set up running various housing institutions in some disadvantaged Black areas in Boston. So they have some really great perspectives to add to the speech from yesterday. There'll be an extended conversation about Obama's speech later on in this hour. Today in Tibet, a bit of calm after several days of violence and sometimes deadly clashes between Tibetan protesters and Chinese police. Now, one religious leader has called for calm, while another has threatened to resign. Today, the Pope called for a permanent end to the violence. And how much will peace depend on the actions of the Dalai Lama, who yesterday threatened to resign if violence escalates? We'll talk about the politics of the Dalai Lama this morning with Economist Asia editor Simon Long. And device addiction, there's a real reason they call them blackberries, crackberries, because you get really attached to them. And wait, it's the 19th? It's the 19th. It's March 19th, they're telling me in my ear. Does my horoscope still stand? I don't care. I'm still climbing that ladder here at NPR. We'll also get today's headlines in just a minute, but first, here's the BPP's big story on the 19th. Top of mind today, a reaction to Barack Obama's major speech on race and politics. The Democratic presidential hopeful took to the podium yesterday to confront critics who question his relationship to his controversial former pastor and to clear the air about how unspoken questions about race are affecting his campaign and this country. Well, did it work? Let's take a look at the editorial pages of the country's newspapers to get an idea. We begin in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, site of Obama's speech, and home of the next Democratic primary on April 22nd. The Philadelphia Inquirer was impressed by Obama's speech, calling it, quote unquote, brilliant. They also wrote, quote, Obama showed why his campaign for president has the aura of a mission. The Inquirer was also impressed with the way Obama handled his controversial former pastor, Reverend Jeremiah Wright, by neither fully defending nor castigating him. They write, quote, he condemned the sins but embraced the sinner. Here's how Obama described his church in Chicago in his speech yesterday.
The church contains in full the kindness and cruelty, the fierce intelligence and the shocking ignorance, the struggles and successes, the love and yes, the bitterness and biases that make up the Black experience in America.
Let's jump to another part of Pennsylvania, Pittsburgh. The Post-Gazette is also positive, writing, quote, as an example of contemporary oratory, it was stunning. As political rhetoric, it was designed to do far more than damage control and in the end distilled the essence of his candidacy. All right, if we went to North Carolina and looked, that's the site of the next big primary after Pennsylvania. The Charlotte Observer writes, quote, in a quiet, insightful, at times powerful speech, he examined the reasons for both anger and hope. It was a message our nation sorely needs to hear, and one he is uncommonly qualified to deliver. So who didn't like Obama's speech? Well, the Wall Street Journal's editorial page was not impressed. It took a special issue with Obama's description of the real culprits in the racial divide.
A corporate culture rife with inside dealing, questionable accounting practices, and short-term greed. A Washington dominated by lobbyists and special interests. Economic policies that favor the few over the many.
The Journal writes in response, quote, Mr. Obama's villains, in other words, are the standard issue populist strawmen of Wall Street and the GOP. They say the speech, quote, revealed the extent to which his ideas are neither new nor transcendent. And let's look at what the folks are saying in the blogosphere. Many conservative blogs are taking issue with the fact that Obama did not fully reject Reverend Wright. RedState.com argues that Obama cannot transcend race while having as a mentor, quote, a man profoundly embittered by this country. And a blogger on the conservative site, townhall.com, says Obama wimped out. Those are her words. Writing, Barack is uniquely positioned to talk about race in America in a new way. It would have served his post-racial aspirations to do so today. He did not take that opportunity. Now let's get to some more of today's headlines.